We'll be reading a few verses together from the book of Luke tonight, chapter 10. Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then in chapter 10 here, there are others that are sent out as well. And the work is preparatory in nature. They're going to prepare the way for Christ. He was going to visit these various towns and villages and places. So 70, maybe 72 people sent out, two by two, so either 35 different groups, 36 different groups going out to various villages and towns, and they're preparing people to hear Jesus, who is going to come and visit all of these places. And the Bible tells us that as He sends them forth, that He tells them the following things there, beginning in verse 2. He said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go your way. Behold, I will send you. I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which clings to us we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city." Jesus was going forth, we know, during this time with the gospel of the kingdom, the message of hope for all of those who were, these are the Jews, waiting for the coming Messiah, waiting for the kingdom that had been promised. And so the expectation is there will be people eager to hear and ready to hear, but that was not always the case. And Jesus, as He sends out these individuals to prepare the way, they're going to go with a message relating to some of the things that He's going to talk about. And yet He knows that the reception is not going to be universally positive. But it's interesting how, as He sends them out, first of all, He makes the point concerning the work that needs to be done and the lack of workers. He doesn't say that there just simply aren't enough people to do the work, but rather He says the laborers, the workers, are few. Most likely in every generation there are many people available, but not so many people busy doing the work. But we as God's people must remember this is our work. This is the work that God has given to each and every one of us. Talking to people about the Savior, telling them about the church that He established, helping them to see the error of human traditions and creeds and religions of different sorts, and help point them in the way of Christ. He urges His followers to do what? Pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Without a doubt, when you think about the statistics of, you know, how many people are dying every day, and you think about the souls going into eternity unprepared, we know all around us every day there are people that are needing to hear the gospel. There are people who need to obey it. Therefore, we have to do all within our power to prepare ourselves for that work and then take upon ourselves that work, be praying that God bring up more and more who will take up this work. And if I'm going to be praying about this, certainly I have to be willing to do so myself. I can't pray, "Lord, send out all those people out there to spread your word," but myself not be willing to go. And therefore, these that He tells to pray are those who are being sent out, but more are needed. But He tells them then in verse 3 to exercise caution. "Go your way, because I send you out as lambs among wolves." God's people are a people of purity, a people of peace, a people who care about the souls of people. But when you go out into the world, you're going to be faced with people who are not like you. You're going out into the world. The world is a mixture of people. There may be some that are receptive, but there are those who are hostile. And of course, many times Jesus faced wolves in the form of the religious leaders who were hostile to him, who of course were instrumental in his death. And his disciples would face those kinds of individuals as well. Some of them might be religious leaders. Some of them might just be devout in what they believed, and they didn't want to hear anything else. And we, of course, today are going to be faced with the same kinds of obstacles. So remember the words of the Lord here. And remember that he urges us to go out prepared for facing difficulty, facing challenging people, facing people that he describes as wolves. So you are sheep. You're going to be faced with wolves. Wolves want to devour the sheep, bring harm to the sheep, consume them, destroy them. This is what he says, prepare for this. Expect it. But he tells them now in the following verses to depend upon God. You go out here, you've got this great work to do. It's not going to be an easy work, but God is going to be with you in this work. So he tells them, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. So it's not as if they couldn't bring anything with them, but they weren't to bring any kind of excess, just basically the clothing that they wore, sandals that they had, not extra of all sorts, but just very basic. What you have, you go with. And don't get delayed. Don't greet someone along the road in the sense of stopping and delaying this most important work. You need to go prepare the way and begin telling people what they need to do. He was going to come on their heels. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. And if not, it will return to you. Here's a common greeting during this day and time. And it was essentially seeing whether or not the people there were receptive to those who were coming in the name of Christ and to do his work. And if they were gladly received, he says, stay there and remain there. He will explain to them why you're there. Eat what they give you. Be satisfied with that. And be content to stay there, because it would be an insult to just move along to somebody else. But remain there. But if those people don't accept you, then you leave there, and the blessings that you sought to bestow upon them will not be coming upon them, but instead they will return to you, as it were, and you will continue to seek until someone receives you, that you might, in that town, in that village, do the work that I've given you. The Lord's going to provide, and he will open doors, and he'll make sure that they have what they need. They didn't bring the extra because God was going to, through those who they stayed with, provide for their needs. And so he explains to them, remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And what do? They were to confirm their message. Heal the sick. They had been blessed with the miraculous power Jesus had bestowed upon them. And tell these people, as you perform the works, your words are going to be very much listened to because you're performing miracles. So what do they say? The kingdom of God has come near to you. This is the everlasting kingdom. The Jews would know what this meant. The kingdom of God has come near to you. And he tells them, whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. He prepares them for not only the facing of sometimes people that won't want you to stay with them, but sometimes the city as a whole is going to be rejecting the words that you bring to them. You might not find the greatest of success. This would be nothing new. God's people have throughout history faced sometimes audiences that were glad to hear and some whose attitude was get away and get away now. They didn't want anything to do. Sometimes lives were in danger, the workers of God, because the hostility grew to the level of persecution, even to the point of death. But the point he makes is, realize this is what you're going to face, and if this happens, you have done your work and you move on. And they will be judged. And in fact, when these who have seen the power of God and heard the proclamation of his invitation to accept these truths, embrace them, and prepare for the coming Messiah who's going to be visiting these places in the days to follow, if they reject all of that, their judgment will be very harsh. He says, more tolerable for Sodom. Because you see, Jesus would explain, if those people back then, those people even in Sodom and Gomorrah, as corrupt as they were, if they had seen and heard what these people saw and what they heard, they would have repented. And so there's no excuse. So his disciples are sent forth on an urgent work, a work that they cannot be delayed in, a work that God says, I'm going to help you in it, a work they're to expect is going to be faced with dangers and rejections, but a work nonetheless that must be done. And it's really no different today, because we're going to be preparing hearts to receive this message of salvation. We go and we talk to people. You may even lay the groundwork to invite them to services or for a later study that you might be able to have with them. But we start at the beginning and we take steps, and the end result that we're desiring to achieve is the salvation of that soul or souls. Because there's nothing more precious to any person than their eternal life. So we look at this and we see just how important it is, the prayers that we ought to be praying in regard to it, the success that we wish for those who go off onto various trips, as Mike and Noah are going to be going on shortly. But the work is here at home as well, isn't it? And it's something that we need to, in our own hearts, dedicate ourselves to growing in the ability to do and then putting it into practice. You know, even if I can't at this moment study with someone, I can invite someone, or I can see if they're willing to study and have someone who maybe has studied before with other people study with them. And so we can all work together to accomplish God's will. But we know what we'll face, but we know that regardless of what it is, that the Lord's blessings are upon us. He is with us. He'll provide for us. And in fact, he will, as he says concerning his word, not allow it to return to him void. Yes, there are many types of soil, but eventually that labor pays off because souls hear and souls heed the gospel. If your soul tonight is in need of responding to God's call, if you haven't become a Christian, if your sins are not washed away, there are things that the Bible teaches you have to do for that to happen. God tells humanity, essentially, believe on the truth that my son, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the promised Messiah. Believe on him with all of your heart and turn from a life of sin. Confess your faith. You know, we always take the confession. We're asking people to acknowledge their belief that Jesus is God's son. And then the act of baptism is absolutely essential. Without it, one cannot be saved. But when one is baptized, God applies the blood. Sins are washed away. We've complied with the command. Our faith is a living faith, obedient to what God has required of us, and we are added to the family of God. We are members of the church that Christ established, and we have hope of eternal life. If you need to do that tonight, we can help you. Or if you need to come home as a wayward child of God, we can pray for you as we stand and sing.